خلاص اللي فهمش المجلات استير ויהי בימי אחשוורוש הוא אחשוורוש המולך מאוד בהתחום שבה ועשרים ימי המדינה This is the time between the first Bet HaMikdash and second Bet HaMikdash after 70 years passed already and it's time for Am Yisrael to come back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Bet HaMikdash in the meantime Chachamim tell us that Achashverosh Vayim Bimei Achashverosh says the Gemara it means it's a bad time since Achashverosh stopped the construction of Bet HaMikdash so again simple explanation is, you know, you should know where we are to, what is the date, and what's going on. So the Megillah tells you, you should know, we're going to tell you a story about Achashverosh, that he was the one that ruled the Mordor of Kush, Sheba, Vesum, and Mahamadina, 127 states. He was a powerful king. By the way, you should know, that he is the one that stopped the construction upon his wife's advice since she was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She didn't like the idea that Koresh that took over Babel, Iraq, and he gave the permission to be taken to Midrash because she was a Hashemite's wife. She told him, don't let the Jews have the Midrash. And that's the words behind those words. Says the Gemara, "Bimei Achashverosh." You should know this is the story that's going on. To tell you now, we are so-called in the break of building Bet HaMikdash. The foundation were done. Bet HaMikdash is not going to be built right this minute because the Achashverosh stopped the construction. Comes the Gemara and tells us the following. It says, "What difference does it make to you how many states
excuse me
where do you buy sleep, you know? So come to Gemara and says, what difference does it make to you of 127 states? Again, the Megillah was written by Ruach HaKodesh. And of course, you know, you want so-called to paint Achashverosh's picture as a very powerful king. But again, the Megillah can say he's very powerful. Just to tell you the number 127 must be a reason. Came Rabbi Akiva and said, very important reason. He says it is to tell you it was exactly 127, not more, not less. That this number you can recognize in the Torah, Parashat Chayei Sara, היו חיי שרה 100 שנה ו-20 שנה ו-7 שנים שני חיי שרה שרה אימנו ליפה ל-27 years and soon we're going to find out that the new queen Esther is going to rule 127 states what it means is that Esther is going to get married to Achashverosh and Achashverosh ruled 127 states and if somebody is going to ask you what is the significance of this number answer him Esther is the great granddaughter of Sarai Imenu that she lived 127 years therefore she will rule 127 states this is the question what's the connection what's the relationship between the years of Sarai Imenu to her granddaughter's ruling 127 states בימים ההם כשבת המלך ראש ראש וכשם מחשש משון הבירה those days after 3 years that Achashverosh was a king to the explanation or after he was able so-called to settle all the wars בשנת שלום שלום מלכו עשה משתה לכל שרב ועבדיו חיל פרס ומדי הפרסמים ושרים נוסף עליו is making a party and the Gemara says
forgive me
The Gemara says the word mishteh that you find in the Torah and the Tanakh, the word mishteh means drinking wine. So it means the party is being called because of the wine. So he made a party. In 180 days he's making a party while he's showing off his fortune. After 180 days, half a year, then he decided he's going to make another party for the people that live in Shushan Abiram. He's making the party, and here comes the description of the party, and sentence 7, Vashkot b'chalei zahav v'chalim mikelim shonim v'en machut rab ki ha'damelech. Here's the punchline. You should know that as much wine as you can consume, and you may consume, you cannot resist it. Have as much wine. It says, of course, we need this kind of information, because soon we're going to see that Ahasuerus himself drink too much wine. But again, the description of the party, that the main thing that was is being described in the party from food, there's no food. It says, at least I would like to know, steak there, steak, something, you know, nothing. There's no food being mentioned. It says, it's 180 days, people must eat anything, something. It says, there's no description if they ate anything. You should know, the whole thing is wine. They're serving wine. Not only are serving wine, the Megillah will tell you, Ashtiyah Rat Enonet, they don't force you to drink. In other parties, sometimes you still force people to drink, says the Gemara. There's a special party, they serve you wine, and the Gemara says, not only they serve you wine, they have special cups. That after you drink wine, Marco, I'm still here? So the Gemara says they had, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of cups and glasses to serve wine. They had no dishwasher, they did not wash them, and after somebody drank wine in a cup, they put away the cup. And then you want more wine? Another cup. And you want another one? Another cup. So each one, every person in the party, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people participating in the party, they all have wine, and every time they want more wine, a new cup. He says, what's the significance? Why the Megillah has to tell you that, how important it is that the whole party stands on wine.
Isn't that interesting?
Some of them will, some of them won't, yeah. Some dishes, some of them won't. Gamma Shtiyah Malkar, some of them are Chodosh Ruch Rosh. Not only that, not only Ahasuerus, he's having this kind of a party with the wine, his wife as well. Then, you need maybe again you need this information, maybe, because this is the next sentence. And the king himself drank, but if he drinks, it doesn't mean that everybody has to drink. And again, if this is a party of 180 days, plus 7 days later for the people in Shushan, the Megillah should have said, you know, the description, how everything was furnished, the Megillah should say, okay, how much food, some kind of description. Excuse me, of food. No description of food. Just wine. And just with your permission, I would like to skip first to chapter 3. No, I'm sorry, chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, the Ahasuerus, after he killed Vashti, he's looking for a new wife. And then followed Esther. So if you skip to chapter 2, sentence 10, after Esther was taken to Ahasuerus' palace, Ahasuerus asked her if he would like to see her passport. And of course, she said, hey, she has no passport. She has no passport. They asked her for a birth certificate. She said, well, she was born in Hawaii, but she doesn't have the resident. She doesn't have it. She says, why don't you stay? Why are you afraid? She says, Kim Mordechai tzivah aleha shelo tagid. Mordechai commanded her, don't tell who you are from what family you belong to, and you have no idea where you came from. Chachamim have some kind of explanations. One of the explanations is that Mordechai did not want her to tell her heritage in order for Achashverosh to release her. There's some contradiction about it, but this is one of the explanations that Mordechai said, don't tell who you are, because like this, they will release you. If you tell them you are the granddaughter of Shaul HaMelech, so you come from a very important family, then he will keep you. But if he'll find out that you have no parents and you have no heritage and there's nothing special about your immediate family, he might release you. So therefore, the Megillah says that Achashverosh tried very hard to know who is Esther from, he could not find. If you skip to sentence 19, the same chapter, it says, "Vikavet v'tulot shenit." Says the Midrash, the Med Gemara says the following: Mr. Achashverosh married Esther, and after he married her, still bothered him where she is from. He did not just buy the answer that Esther gave him, that she doesn't know who she is from and what her nationality. She just has no answer for any question he has. So he called Mordechai. He called Mordechai, and so the Midrash says that Esther, after she got married to Achashverosh, she never told him about her relationship with Mordechai. But she told him, you should know, a Jew as advisor is very good for a king. Daniel was at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. This is Kissinger in the time of Nixon. This is the best thing you can have, it is a Jewish advisor. Therefore, I think you should put next to the gate a Jewish guy. He should be your advisor. Since Achashverosh could not find Esther's information, he went to this Rabbi Mordechai at the gate, and he says, I got a problem. He says, what's your problem? He says, I just married a girl. I don't know who she's from, and I would like to find out. Tell me, how can I find this information? The Gemara says, Mordechai went and told Achashverosh, I tell you what. Tomorrow morning, you put on the internet that you're looking for a new queen. Then you can have a march of time. All these girls will march to the palace, and you just open the curtain. And Esther's going to look downstairs, she's going to ask you, what is this? And you're going to say, this is, and I just put an ad in the paper, I'm looking for a new queen. And she says, what do you mean looking for a new queen? I'm the queen. The pressure on Esther will be unbelievable, and then she will break, and she'll tell you who she is, from which country she comes, and her nationality and her family. Even though that again, Mordechai before told her, don't say, so-called now, he gives Achashverosh a good advice, says the Gemara, it's a very good advice, because Esther will not be able to resist and stand still while she was seeing all these girls standing and the filling application, they want to be the queen. This is what is the purpose. I says, you told Esther not to say who she is, leave her alone. He says, Achashverosh comes to you and asks you, excuse me, what shall I do to make this girl tell me who she is from? He says, Mordechai says, I have no idea, I really don't know. What did he try? Achashverosh said, I tried everything. Mordechai says, no, maybe she really doesn't know. Instead, he tells Achashverosh, the Gemara says, a good advice, and that advice should work on a normal person, that a queen, Chas v'Shalom, she might lose her job, she'll break. He says, okay, I'll tell you, says the Megillah, and Esther, Magen Adon Zama, Kashi Rav Mordechai, he says, no. He says, the pressure of seeing so many girls standing online and trying to get so-called the job that she has, he says, did not make Esther to budge. She's still now saying she has no idea who she's from. And it's not, and of course we need this information for later, that Esther is going to reveal herself to Achashverosh later, and she's going to tell him that she is a Jew, and she wants to have mercy. But again, now for that information, we have some kind of contradiction in the behavior of Mordechai, that first he tells Esther, don't say, and then he gives a good advice to Achashverosh, So Achashverosh to push her and pressure her to get this information that she might say, but Baruch Hashem, Megillah says, no, she didn't say. Again, for later we need it. The question is now, it's contradiction. Before the Megillah said, Mordechai told her, don't say, because if she would have said, Achashverosh would have kept her, and therefore she should never say. Now, he gives Achashverosh an advice how to pressure her. So it's backfired to you. You said you don't want Achashverosh to know who she's from, because hopefully she's going to be released. Now, you tell Achashverosh an advice, should pressure her to tell him who she is, and then he'll never release her, because he'll find out by the way she's a granddaughter of Shaul HaMelech. Contradiction in the Megillah, what is behind it that Mordechai tells us that don't say, and then it gives Achashverosh an advice how to push her and pressure her, she should say. With your permission, I'd like to skip to chapter 8, sentence 17. This is after Haman was hung and Mordechai took the position as the president, the vice president to Achashverosh, to Paras, and the Jews already were very happy. Comes the Megillah and says, chapter 8, sentence 17, V'chol Medina Medina, V'chol Yerba'ir, every state and every city, Mekom Ashad Ba'amech, the Torah Magia, and every place that they hear and they got the last decision of the king to cancel so-called what Haman wanted to do, Simcha V'Sasson La'Yudim, they're very happy. Mishteh V'Yom Tov, they're already having a party with wine, and it's a holiday, they don't go to work. The Rabbim Yamei Aretz Mityadim, a lot of the Goyim, the non-Jewish people that live all around Mityadim, they want to convert. In Afar Pachad Ha'Yudim Aleihem, because they are very afraid of the Jews. The Gemara says on Mutai is about conversion, that a real convert is only if you convert Lashem Shamayim, not for a particular reason. Gemara says, for example, in the time of David and Shlomo, they did not accept any converts. Since the conversion is because you want to join the Jewish nation, since you have David HaMelech, since you have Shlomo HaMelech, since it's known that the Jews have a lot of influence, and I want to become a Jew. That's called convert, not the Shem Shamayim. That convert is not called a real convert. Especially if you're going to convert because you're afraid of something. That's the Gemara says, the Navi says, and at the time of Ben Sancheriv, when he destroyed the Eretz Israel, he brought from one of the islands, maybe it's called Kutim, it's great maybe, he brought with Shulat Israel, non-Jewish people, and then Navi says the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought lions. And while those people were walking in Eretz Israel, lions started to eat them up, and they all converted. He says the Gemara, that's called Girei Arayot, it's called a convert because of lions, it's not a real conversion. If you're going to convert because you're afraid of something, it's not a conversion. A conversion has to be 100% Hashem Shamayim for no reason. I convert because I found the truth and I love to be a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very close to him. And the Gemara said, well, just to make sure when he comes and he says I want to convert, he said, listen, it's not the best idea for you, because if you don't convert, as long as you keep 7 mitzvot, you have Gan Eden, says the Rambam. You don't have the first row, but you are in Gan Eden. But if you're going to convert, there's no way back. You can't convert back to your old religion or to any other religion, and therefore if you don't keep it, you might lose your place in Gan Eden. So you tell a convert, listen, it's better not. Don't, you know, you have all kind of reasons better off. Says, no, I love Judaism. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that the Jews, they hold the right religion, it says convert him. He said, let's not convert because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of something. So he's afraid of something, I want to become a Jew, that's not a real conversion. He comes to Gemara and said, then Megillah, I'm sorry, and said, that a lot of people are converting because they're afraid of the Jews. I says, that's not a real conversion. And anyway, what does this make? Why did Megillah just write this kind of sentence? He says that a lot of people are going to convert. He says, what do you gain from it? Nothing. So why is it? The idea of Purim, the idea. Chachamim say that really, if we may say, that's the only holiday that being described in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that you have to be overwhelmed with happiness. And of course, the Gemara said, if you remember, it's a special mitzvah to have wine, drink wine, to get high, what we call in America, that you don't have it in any other holiday. Again, this is a very nice thing. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem saved us from Haman. It's true. But in the Jewish history, Baruch Hashem saved us a lot of time. This guy happened to be that he hates the Jews very much and he wants to kill all of us. But still, to say this for the rest of the generations, and according to the Rambam, not just the rest of the generations, even after Mashiach will come, we're going to celebrate just Purim. Not going to celebrate any other holidays, just Purim, says the Rambam. Purim stays forever. Again, it's a very nice holiday, but it's just, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Paro. That says, in Paro also was almost the same idea. That says, Paro chased us, wanted to destroy all of us. And since you don't have this kind of description of a holiday, what you have on Purim. Another thing that's very, very strange is Purim is being divided by Chachamim into two holidays, if you may say. It says, the first part is called Yudalet B'Adar, this is the 14th day of Adar. And this is on Tuesday. And this is for the majority of the people in the world that live in cities without walls. And the war means that even though the city does not have war now, if that city had war in time of Yeshua Ben Nun, they're going to read the Megillah and celebrate Purim the following day, on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar. That's very strange that you have to divide the holiday into two different days to some part of the nation. They celebrate Purim one day, part of the nation, in a different day. I mean, it's unheard of such a thing. Can you imagine July 4th? Some people will celebrate it July 4th, and then July 5th. Half of the country, you know, will celebrate President's Day one day. There's no such thing. This is the Jewish, in Jewish his nation, in the Jewish calendar, of course, no such thing like that. You can't, it's a part of the people, you know, will celebrate this. Listen, you know, people said that from Haman. Okay, so you're going to announce one day, that's the holiday of Purim. It says, okay, no, the people that live in Yerushalayim, and in Yafo, and in Tveria, and Kesaya, the places had wars on Yeshua Ben Nun, you see the holiday is going to be on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar. The rest of the nation that live in cities that had no wars, from Yeshua Ben Nun, it says it's 14. He goes to China, and says, what does Chachamim say? In China, the wall of China, maybe was established, I don't know, you know, history better than me, from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, no? But how old is the wall? How old is the wall? Say 4,000 or 5,000 is the wall. So some Chachamim say, you go to China, you have to read the Megillah on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar. They said, you go to Japan, it's 14. It says, every country depends. If you can detect and you find out that that country had a wall, that of Yeshua Ben Nun, after we came to Eretz Israel, it says celebration, and that city is on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar. The rest of the world, there's no wars, 14. Very strange. Celebration means that Baruch Hashem saved us. So, he saved you. When? It says, just give me the final date, when the so-called the war was over, or so-called the revenge that you wanted to take is over. So then you announce, celebration, yes, Purim, since Bono depends. For those people that did this, it's 14. Those people, 15. That's unheard to going to divide the holiday into two dates. Unheard such a thing. No such thing. Not only you divide it, the celebration, for example, for those people that celebrated Purim on the 14th, they still have some kind of celebration on the 15th. And the same thing is the opposite. So we don't say Tachanon, we say this is semi-holiday. Another thing, it says Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Gemara, that of course this holiday was established for Chachamim, like Hanukkah was established for Chachamim. Of course this was before Hanukkah. But the difference is that this is a regular day, and nevertheless it says Shulchan Aruch, it says in Halacha, that you should not go to work on that day. If you have to, you have to, but you should know the money that you're going to earn on that day has no blessing. And you can make $1 billion. You make $1 billion, you make a deal, you can have transaction, you made a lot of money. If you made it on Purim, the money has no blessing. It says all this money, you're going to lose it. It says, why? Because it says Megillah, Yom Tov, yeah? It says, that's the halacha. It says, well, first they didn't want to go, they didn't want anybody to go to war. But this was not accepted by Chachamim. It says, at least I can tell you, you want to go to work, go to work. But I'm telling you now, the money will have no blessing in the money. It says, what's the significance of this hag that you really originally, Mordechai, did not want anybody to go to work at all? You want to make it like a regular hag, like a Sukkot, like Pesach, the first day. You can. It says, you have to stay home. Finished. No, says Chachamim, said, no, you can go to work, but don't earn any money because the money has no blessing. He says, what is the power of this hag that's so big? The Zohar, if you remember, comes and tells us even further a statement that we know we have the biggest day of the year is Yom Kippur. It says Yom Kippurim. Comes the Zohar and says the following, Yom Kippurim is like Yom Purim. So Kippurim is the Chaf, is the translation of that letter Chaf is like, what? Purim. So-called, you take so-called the holiest day of the year, that's Yom Kippur, and you say, this is what is Yom Kippur? And says, Yom Kippur is like Purim. What do you mean like Purim? What is like Purim? I don't drink, I don't eat, I don't celebrate anything. So says the Zohar, no. Yom Kippurim is like Purim. So in what concept is like Purim? In what? There's no similarity between Purim and Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, that's what the Zohar says. It's called Yom Kippurim. It says it's for us, of course it means the day of forgiveness. But nevertheless, the Zohar says, compare Yom Kippur to Purim. It says, has some kind of relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim. The Mishnah in Masechet Ani tells us, Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, you should know Adar is coming, it is time to be happy. So comes the Gemara does not give any information what you got to do. I have no idea what to do. Not only that, comes Rashi with the Masechet Ani and says you should know the reason why you should be happy is not because just Purim comes, it's Purim and Pesach, both. Of course, it means, you know, two holidays come. And so-called, from the beginning of the month, I should be happy because the two holidays come. It's also very strange, very strange. Every time I have a holiday in the middle of the month, then from Rosh Chodesh already, I have to start celebrating. It's like I'm going to be happy. So why are you happy? Sukkot is coming. So what's Sukkot is coming? Sukkot is coming. Sukkot will come. It's Yom Simchatenu. It's Chag Simchatenu Sukkot. You still don't start the celebration before Sukkot comes. You don't start it, Rosh Hashanah, okay, Rosh Hashanah, I can tell you it's Yom Adin maybe. But it's not such thing that you're going to celebrate the holiday on Rosh Chodesh because the holiday is going to be in 2 weeks or in 1 week after. The celebration starts when the holiday comes. He says, no, the holiday starts from Rosh Chodesh. He says, why? Because this is the month. since the start of the month, it's the Rit Purim. It's not Purim yet. So what the celebration is all about? It's very powerful, that halacha. It's not just a celebration, that halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that if a person has to go someplace, and he will not have Megillah on Purim, so he is allowed from Rosh Chodesh already to read the Megillah. Of course, he won't say the bracha, but it's going to be considered like he heard the Megillah. So you're going to be someplace far away, and you know you cannot take the Megillah along, or you don't own a Megillah, and that means that you're going to go and have no Megillah. It says, before you go on a trip, it says you can read the Megillah. It says, from Rosh Chodesh on, read the Megillah. Again, without the bracha, it has the power, so-called, of celebration. This is unheard such a thing, that you're going to celebrate a week or 2 weeks before the holiday, that already you are very happy. Especially over here, the way Rashi said, it's not just Purim, it's Pesach. But Pesach is going to be in a month and a half, the month after Purim. Now I'm Rosh Chodesh Adar. From Rosh Chodesh Adar to Pesach, you have 6 weeks. I said, you have 6 weeks, I'm going to be happy today. I said, why? Because in 6 weeks I have Pesach. So what do you expect me to do now? I should be happy now because I'm going to celebrate in 6 weeks Pesach. What does that mean? So Ari says the following. If you remember, the Midrash says it. It says, Sarai Menu, when she died, it says in the Torah that Abraham came to the place that she died in Hebron, and Abraham came to cry. And when Abraham came to cry, in the Torah it says, Lifkota, the word Lifkota, to cry, the small letter Chaf. See, the Midrash, Abraham did not cry too much. It says because it's considered that Sarah committed suicide without jumping through a window. There's a fashion to jump from a window. She committed suicide without jumping in the window. She died. But it's called committing suicide. What is the problem? I spoke about it. She says, why did you commit suicide? Since you commit suicide, it doesn't mean that you have to jump out of the window or swallow a bottle of aspirin. If you just say the wrong words, it's called committing suicide. I says, what did you say? It says, one day Sarai Menu came to Abraham Avinu and she said, Hamasi Alecha Yishpot Hashem Bin Yuvenecha. It says, Abraham Avinu, you know, I'm upset at you. Upset at you. She already ruined what we call in America Shalom Bait, almost order of protection. And God should be the judge between you and me. Says, there's an odd person that gives so-called about his friend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his file is going to be checked first. He says, God should punish you. He says, maybe God will punish him. But you should know first, you online. He says, when you tell HaKadosh, you tell somebody HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you, it means you invited yourself to be called by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sarai Venus says, the Midrash, the Midrash should have lived longer. We have no information how much longer, but you should know Sarai Menu died 127, and someone committed suicide, so-called she killed herself by telling Abraham, God should be the judge between you and me. As well, that at that time, Sarah was, I think, 76. No, 75. She was 75.
And she said it.
And she said it, yeah. Right. But she should have lived longer. And there is no other information about any lady in the whole Tanakh, how old she was when she passed away, when she died. Not about Rivka, not about Rachel, not about Leah. The Midrash will tell you, the Gemara will tell you. But there is no information how old was Chava, Elisheva, Miriam. There is no information. Only the only information about someone, a lady that died, how old she was, only Sarah. Of course, the Gemara, if you remember, she will tell you, I'm 127, has to tell you that she was sinless, she was pretty, she was okay. But again, but the information is only about Sarah, and says, Ari says, this is what we want to teach you. That happened, she lived only 127, that's because she committed suicide, and therefore Baal HaTorah brings that midrash, that Abraham did not cry so much, because she committed, she killed herself. Let me say, America, she hung herself. It was her problem, she died. She did it. She should not have said, God should be the judge between you and me. As well, if you remember, when Abraham Avinu was 70 years old, 15 years before, Abraham Avinu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question, I would like to ask you a question, how shall I know that what you tell me is going to happen? Says the Maharal Miprag, this was lack of emunah, of trust that Abraham Avinu had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the first reason why we came down to Egypt as a punishment to so-called to be slave for 400 years, is because Abraham Avinu said the wrong thing. The second thing comes the Gemara and says the following, that Abraham Avinu drafted Eliezer, it was the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the Yeshiva, and because he drafted him, he took him to the army, he took him to so-called be able to release Lot from captivity. Nevertheless, you should not have done it. That's another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us down to Egypt. And the third reason, says the Gemara, and Abraham Avinu, when he was a machloket, what year was it, the big war, and after he released Lot from the war, he released a lot of people from captivity, and the king of Sodom asked him, can you give me back my people? He should not have given him back the people, he should have kept the people, and those people would become true servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the third reason that we went down to Mitzrayim. Comes the Gemara, comes the Midrash, comes the Ari, and they all say the same thing. You should know, since then, we went down to Egypt, the job that was required, so-called, to correct those three mistakes that Abraham Avinu made, they were never corrected 100%. Here Megillat Esther says, now we are at a point that we are in the middle between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash. Ahasuerus started the construction. Of course, you know, it is because of Vashti. It is because people send email letters from Eretz Israel, Arabs, to stop the construction. It is true. But on the other hand, has some kind of a reason why that thing did happen. That thing happened is because we still not in the position to have Beit HaMikdash, because we're still in exile. From time to time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called give us a break, and he says, we are successful, or we're doing it. But again, the destination, to get it 100%, and they should be able, so-called, have it forever without destruction. First HaMikdash, second HaMikdash, is only when you're going to fix those three reasons that actually send us out of Eretz Israel, and we have to fix it. This is the Gemara says in one version, that you don't go back to Eretz Israel voluntarily when you choose to go. It's not in your hands, it's the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to know you are in exile because of those two reasons that were never fulfilled and corrected yet. Then comes Dari and says, you should know, at the end of this Megillat Esther, that Megillat doesn't have it, but after this whole story, at the end, the second Dayavish, or the second Kurash, whatever it's called, he's going to give the permit and to continue the construction of the Hamikdash. It means the Megillat Esther we had to go through that in order for us to win and to get the permit to continue with Hamikdash. I mean, right now, we are in the pause, we are in the middle, the construction stops, and of course you're going to say, blame Vashti for this, blame Razam, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're building a Hamikdash for you. And so the construction stopped. And says, of course, you say, Vashti is the bad lady, I understand. But we started from Hashem. He says, how is it possible that the construction doesn't go? He says, if the building is standing, Islam Israel is ready to go, it can go. If you remember the lecture, it says that thing took much more than 170 years. Took at least 200 years. And the reason is because, again, to get this Bet HaMikdash, to have Bet HaMikdash, and to have it standing without being destroyed later, you have to fix those three things. Here comes again says the following. It says, when Esther was chosen and was taken to become a queen, Mordechai told Esther, I don't want you to say anything. You mute. You come to Ahasuerus' palace, he'll ask you a question. He said, I have no idea. Lamed leshoncha lomar ani yodeh atem shnai pekei avot. He says, I have no idea. Ask him, what time it is? I have no idea. What it means is, I have no idea, say Chachamim, if I want to answer you. Not to say, I don't have any idea what it is. I know what it is. But I have no idea if I'm allowed to answer you. I says, Esther, I'm going to ask you, don't say nothing. I said, let me tell you something. Mordechai himself is going to put so much pressure on Esther that Esther should not say nothing. Says Rabbi Akiva, says the Gemara, Esther is going so-called to fix the sin of Sarai Menu. Sarai Menu lived 127, and the reason why she lived 127 because she spoke so much, she talked too much. He says, therefore she died so young. I said, Esther is going to fix it. He says, that thing is not only Sarah. Sarah spoke so much because her husband spoke so much, because Avraham spoke so much, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question, should never ask this question. And for this we went down to Mitzrayim. It says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Mila Besela Shtika Betre. It says, if somebody gives you so-called a coin to say something, it says, if you're quiet, it's two coins. This is what it means, better off you be quiet. It says, better off you be quiet, says David HaMelech, even from praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lecha Dumiyat Tehila Elokim Metzion, Lecha Yishulam Neder, it says, keep your mouth shut. It says in Mishnah in Merkei Avot, Lo Matzati, Rav Gamlimer, Lo Matzati Laguf Tov Mishtika, the best thing if I kept my mouth shut. It says, what is so, what is, don't get into trouble. A stupid person, if he's quiet, is being considered as a very smart person. What's behind the whole thing is to correct the sin of Avraham Avinu, that maybe that caused also Sarah to say the wrong things later, but this is what has sent us first reason to exile, is because we spoke too much. It says Esther is going to fix it, and that's the first reason for celebration, that Purim will stay forever, and that the whole holiday of Purim, this kind of happiness, is because Esther was able, so-called, to fix the first part, the first thing we came down to Egypt. The second thing, says the Gemara, is that Avraham Avinu, when he had the ability to take people and to bring them under the wings of the Shekhinah, when those people that he released from captivity, he gave it back to Melech Sodom. It says, the Rabbim HaMe'aretz Mityaredim, those are the same Neshamot, says Dari, the people over there in Paras, in Iran, that they're afraid of Am Israel, they're going to convert. It says, that conversion sounds that it is not a real conversion because you're not allowed to convert because you're afraid of a Jew, but still, this is what the accomplishment of Mordechai and Esther was, and here they're going to convert. Where are you going to convert? It says, because I'm afraid of the Jews. So what does that mean? It says, it means that I want to worship the same God that the Jews worship God because I'm afraid of a Jew. It says, now he says, no, this is not a real conversion. This is a conversion because this is the correction for that mistake that Avraham Avinu made, that he gave back the people instead of converting them, bringing them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sent them back to the King of Sodom. And it says Mordechai and Esther, with that miracle that they made, Am Israel had this power, so-called, to fix the second reason. And that's again the celebration is of Purim, is Baruch Hashem. The reason why we suffer so much is because we went to exile, and you have to know why we went to exile. So two out of the three reasons already were fixed. It means the exile should finish. The third one says the Gemara is that Avraham Avinu drafted Eliezer, that he was the Rosh Yeshiva. Says that the Gemara says Masechet Shabbat, explanation of the sentence, the end of the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu Yehudim Malim Barzaram, says the Jewish people accepted Torah, and Yehudim et ha'orah v'simcha orah zot Torah, it says the Megillah says you should know, the Jews learned Torah, says the Rashi says Haman did not let them learn Torah. Other Chachamim said they understood the concept of Torah, the Gemara said they did agree now to obey and listen to all the mitzvot of the Torah. Again, this is the correction for the mistake of Avraham Avinu that did not respect so much the Torah by taking the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Eliezer, to the army to try to get Lot out of captivity. This is Am Yisrael 6. This is really the secret of Megillat Esther. Of course, Megillat Esther is, you know, is a celebration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman. But the real celebration is, it's not you were saved from Haman because just HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on you. It was saved from Haman because you were able to correct the cause that sent you into that situation. And if you go back, with your permission, to Megillat Esther, I believe it's chapter 8. And this is a sentence. No, I'm sorry, this is chapter 7. It's chapter 7. Sentence 4. This is the second party that Esther invited Achashverosh and Haman, and she's going to reveal herself and to tell Achashverosh who she is. And she tells him, I'm a Jew, and she tells him the following. Kinimkanu ani v'ami, so we were sold, me and my nation, la'shmid la'hogu la'abed, to be destroyed, and to be killed. Ve'ilu, but if, la'avadim u'leshfachot nimkanu u'cherashti, if we would have been just sold for slaves and made, I would have been quiet. So the Chachamim says, what do you have to say that sentence? He says, you want to ask for mercy for Achashverosh? Just tell him, Achashverosh, you know, I'm a Jew, and this guy, Haman, has in mind to kill me and my nation. Instead, she also adds, and she says, listen, if the Gezerah of Haman would have been to sell us as slaves and maids, I wouldn't have called this party, I would have kept quiet. So when you kept quiet, is it the Gezerah of all the Jews to become slaves? You would have been quiet. I know, that's what she means. She means like this, that we are now still in the Gezerah of Avraham Avinu. That says we didn't accept the Torah yet. That says we didn't come to the stage that we fixed everything. And that's what she honestly tells Achashverosh. Listen, Mr. Achashverosh, if the Gezerah would have been that we should be slaves and made, I would accept it. This is why? Because this was the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. After Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu the question, after Avraham Avinu did not keep those people that he released from captivity and gave back, and after he drafted Eliezer, excuse me, this is from the plane.
Did he get back?
Yesterday. They didn't give me tea on the plane. No, I paid 720.
727
it was. No, the money. I paid $727. Yeah. So therefore, Esther says to Achashverosh, that's what it's written in the Megillah. This was written in Ruach HaKodesh, that Esther says to Achashverosh, listen, if the punishment would have been slavery, I accept. Why? Because that punishment was told to Avraham Avinu. After Avraham Avinu made those three mistakes, Hashem told him, you know, the punishment for those three mistakes is slavery. And therefore the Megillah says that Esther says to Achashverosh, listen, if slavery would have been the punishment, within the Gezerah, I would have been quiet, because I know there's nothing to do. But if he wants to kill us, this is killing us, that's not the punishment, and therefore Achashverosh waived it, and this is the holiday of Purim, and this is the Ari says, this is the holiday of Purim, this is you don't go to work. This is because work, the Gemara says, is all the cheret, it's really slavery. It says the reason why you go to work is because it's a punishment. It says Purim is a day of celebration, that you will release from that punishment of slavery. Therefore, says the Rambam, says the Halacha, it says, listen, don't try to make any money. It says, this was the first year. Mordechai called it as a chag, as a Yom Tov. It says, it's a real celebration. And the celebration is because, Baruch Hashem, we did the job that Avraham Avinu so-called caused us to suffer, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let us now have Beit HaMikdash, tell him the mission is going to be built, because we fixed the cause of the destruction of Am Yisrael by our grandfather Abraham. This is why the holiday is so great. So again, this is Purim and Pesach. It's not the celebration Purim and Pesach. It is both Purim and Pesach, both are holidays, so-called we got out, so-called, of the Gezerah. It says, from Rosh Chodesh Adar, you have already that light. The light that is going to shine, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases us from the Gezerot. And therefore, the Ari says that from Rosh Chodesh Adar, Marabim Betzimchai should be happy. He says, why I'm happy? I'm not happy because Purim is coming. I'm not happy because Pesach is coming. I'm happy that I was able, so-called, to correct in the time of Purim. And partially in time of Pesach, we, as the way the Ari, if you remember the lectures about Pesach, we try to correct what Abraham Avinu did not follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, and this is a celebration. Now we don't celebrate from Rosh Chodesh, Mishnah Sadar, the next few days Rosh Chodesh, I'm happy. So we're happy because Purim is coming. So because Purim is coming, celebrate today? No. I'm celebrating today because on Purim I was able to fix so-called the cause of destruction, because Purim and Pesach also is a continuation of trying so-called to fix it. So this is kind of celebration. So this is why the special mitzvah on Purim to be happy is not because the miracle. The miracle happened because we were able so-called to correct something. So for this, Chachamim says, or Rabbi Rambam says, that celebration will be forever. It is other holidays that we have is not a real correction. The Pesach was not a full correction. Pesach was HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out of Egypt before we were able to correct completely those three things. It says on Purim we were able to correct it. For the time of Purim we corrected it. And for the Rambam, the Rambam says, comes in commentary, it says that the Yerushalmi says, that the Gemara Bavli says, hints about the Purim will stay forever. It is because Purim is a sign, it's not a holiday, it's the correction that caused Haman to be destroyed. It's not that we were able to destroy Haman, we were able to correct, and that Haman was destroyed. It says that holiday is forever, and this is what I read in after Mashiach will come and celebrate Purim, Yerod Ben Minam.
I know
why
did they think that what Sarah did about working to Abraham, when the Malachim came and said she was going to have a baby, she left.
Right.
And that was
This is the continuation. This is the continuation of the original so-called statement what she said.
But what was that statement?
Yeah, that's right. This was, she was 75 and now she's 90.
Why did she say that?
She was upset.
Thank you very much. Your coat and your umbrella.